Delighted to be here with you this morning, here to talk about the work that we've been engaged in over the past, well, this project is over the past 3 years. Place matters, let me just start there. Wherever you are, it makes a difference. Our Place Matters team was just recently in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and had a chance to see what's going on there. If you think we have it bad, there's a community called La Union that they don't even have their own zip code. It's just awful what's going on in some of our communities. But Place Matters for Health in New Orleans, ensuring opportunities for good health for all. And the conversation is about equity, not equality. It's shifted to equity now. And we're delighted to be a part of this. Inequities in health arise because of the circumstances in which people grow, live, work, and age, and the system put in place to deal with illness. But the conditions in which people live and die are in turn shaped by political, social, and economic forces. I want to say that again. The conditions by which people live and die are in turn shaped by political, social, and economic forces. I've been listening to the different presentations, and I've been identifying which of the social determinants are of concern within each of those presentations. So we need to be very sensitive to that. Now, Place Matters Initiative, we're focused in on, is an initiative of the National Collaborative for Health Equity. The objective of the initiative is to eliminate health disparities by identifying their complex underlying causes and defining strategies to address them. Place Matters teams work upstream to address social, economic, and environmental conditions that impact health and health-related outcomes. Currently, there are 19 Place Matters teams working in 27 jurisdictions around the country. And here's a map that tells where all of them are, and you can see we were just talking about New Mexico. There are three teams in New Mexico, and if you're interested in having a Place Matters team develop in your community, contact us on our national website. Place Matters teams have been charged with the task of engaging in the work that will inform local policies and practices toward improving the conditions for health. Teams can do this through identifying and assembling indicators of health status and community conditions, building multi-sector community-based coalitions, and promoting evidence-based policy solutions that help to reduce the health risk and increase resources that enhance, promote, and support health. Engaging new audiences and partners to build public support for mitigating adverse conditions. Now, we're about to talk about the Orleans Place Matters Project. It's a beautiful picture of our city. The Orleans Place Matters team, since its inception, the Orleans Parish Place Matters team has been involved in developing a community-based solutions to address some of the city's most pressing public health issues. In 2012, we realigned our mission to advocate for policies that promote safe, healthy learning environments for youth and families. And the reason that we chose to focus in on healthy learning environments, you probably have heard that New Orleans is the most violent city in all of the United States. We incarcerate more people in Louisiana than anywhere else in the country, probably anywhere in the world. And that's a problem. But instead of us identifying, well, we say that violent crime is our number one problem. And our response, Place Matters' response to that is, no, it's not. Violent crime is not our number one problem. Violent crime is an outcome of other problems. And that number one problem is education. I think that we will find that to be repetitive in every urban community around the country. If we were to go back to Chicago, for example, they're calling Chicago Chirac after Iraq because of the amount of violent crime. But if you look at the number of schools that have been closed in Chicago, they're all in communities that are experiencing violent crime. So when our politicians say that we don't know what to do, they're lying. They do know what to do. There's a direct connection to the criminal industrial complex and the closing of our schools, and we need to be aware of that. Concurrent with this strategic realignment, the Orleans Parish Place Matters team also released its first community health equity report, our SHARE report, and the Place Matters for, called Place Matters for Health in Orleans Parish, ensuring opportunities for good health for all. Now, the SHARE report, in the SHARE report, Place Matters for Health in important ways. Differences in neighborhood conditions powerfully predict who is healthy, who is sick, and who lives longer. And because of the patterns of residential segregation, these differences are fundamental causes of health inequities among different racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. This report examined the relationship between place, race, and ethnicity in health in Orleans Parish and attempted to address specific questions raised by the Orleans Parish Place Matters team. They are, what is the relationship between community levels of individual indicators of socioeconomic status and educational attainment? What is the relationship between the level of individual indicators of socioeconomic status and the rate of risk behaviors? What is the relationship between socioeconomic status and the health outcomes? What effects did Hurricane Katrina and its resultant displacement have on the rate of risk behaviors? Now, in our SHARE report, this is just a one page out of our SHARE report, and as I was going through the exhibition hall yesterday, I was walking through and I looked at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation display, and they had a map of New Orleans, and the map that they used was from our SHARE report. Kudos to us. Maybe we can get a grant from them now. But here's an example of the work that, we're doing. You can see that the life expectancy in the poorest zip code, which is 70112, there's a 25-year difference between the another zip code, which is in a along the lakefront. A 25-year now, but just let's just look across and look at the life expectancy right here, the STD rate compared to the 70124 down at the bottom, the low birth weight, heart disease minority, less than high school education, compared to again a 70124, non-white 87%, what happened? There it is. All right, thank you. And the people living below the federal housing, the federal poverty line. Look at the disparity, 6% compared to 36%. Heart disease mortality is in the poorest community, in the poorest zip codes of the city, is almost five times higher than the next highest rate in the city. Five times. The mortality rate for black residents of Orleans Parish in 2007 was 1.5 times the mortality rate for white residents. There's a wide difference across census tracts in the community level risk index, which was calculated by combining measures of population between 150% of the federal poverty level, overcrowded households, households without a vehicle, and vacant housing. And when we talk about households without a vehicle, we can address why there were so many people who were left behind during Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane Katrina happened on the 29th of the month. It was at the end of the month. Those who were on subsidies, their subsidies had run out and had not yet, so they didn't have money to evacuate. They were abandoned. Areas with the highest community risk indexes have significantly higher heart disease and stroke mortality rates. The lowest levels of educational attainment by census tract, as many as 72% of the residents without a high school education, correlate with the highest level of community risk factors and the lowest life expectancy rate. Also, those who are inclined to either be murdered or sent to prison, right along with that. Higher violent crime rates are associated with higher with areas that have higher rates of repopulation since Hurricane Katrina and lower levels of educational attainment. We need to say that after Katrina, that everything public was negatively affected. Public housing, public health, public schools. Right now, Orleans Parish is being touted as the renaissance of public education with our charter schools. As the hip-hop community would say, don't believe the hype. And I need to add that our newest report, which is an educational policy report, will reveal the truth of the matter. We spend $33.5 million busing our children to failing schools, but yet still we're not engaged in redefining the neighborhood-based schools. This is a huge problem. The higher violent rate, we did address that. In the context of the shared report findings, the Orleans Parish Place Matters team chose to focus its policy recommendations on keeping children in quality schools and in providing access to educational services for youth and adults who have been out of school for significant periods of time in the following areas, in keeping students in school and out of prisons, providing opportunities for those who have been incarcerated, addressing mental health needs for youth and family, and developing student-centric educational policies. Again, we keep emphasizing policies, policies, policies. Since the release of our first year report, the Orleans Parish Place Matters team has been working to support community partners in their work to support community partners, including the New Orleans Health Department in its effort to become a PHB-accredited health department in 2014. In 2013, with the help of Loyola University and the Urban League of Greater New Orleans, we received grants from the Greater New Orleans Foundation and the W.K. Kellogg Foundation to support our community-based policy, education, and capacity-building agenda. The release of our health equity report on education policies, as I mentioned, just happened this past weekend. Our shared education policy report, in that you will find the focuses on education as a social determinant of health. Education as a social determinant, there are 12. And if we begin to focus on those 12 social determinants, we will begin to see a shift in all of our communities across the country. As a matter of fact, we understand from the World Health Organization, it would indeed impact the quality of life around the world. The report examines how well the public education system is addressing our highest need in neighborhoods, and specifically look at neighborhood characteristics, school discipline policies, and possible effects of school choices. The report draws three conclusions. Certain neighborhoods create risk of violent victimization. Two, schools are not protecting children but are instead making them more vulnerable to violence. And three, school choice is not solving the problem. I want that to marinate just for a minute. Once again, as we refer to our education policy report, we're looking at the communities that the mayor of New Orleans have identified as being the most violent communities in the city. There's a focus called NOLA for Life, Ceasefire, which is a mimic of a work that began in Chicago. And as we look at the schools in these targeted communities, we can see what the differences are in terms of the students who are attending schools within those neighborhoods, those who are bused out of neighborhoods into other schools, in failing communities. So once again, what's the real result of the efforts that we're having with our busing situation? Our share report policy recommendations are that we design, implement, and evaluate interdependent neighborhood and school-based interventions that target vulnerable youth. And I need to also add that here in New Orleans, we have to ask the question, who are our at-risk youth? Who are at risk? And the fact is that everyone is at risk in this environment. Each and every one in our community is at risk. And if we don't do something to address that, we will fall victims of this problem. but develop, particularly in low-performing schools, partnerships with community-based organizations to offer additional support and protections for our youth. We don't need to just focus in on those that we identify as at risk, but those who need to be protected from those who have at-risk behaviors, have risky behaviors. Adopt and implement evidence-based restorative justice models and provide more information, transparency, and accountability regarding suspensions, expulsions, and expulsion policies. Also, to create and distribute a clearly defined code of conduct to which schools are held accountable. This is the idea of zero tolerance. We need to do away with that because everything is cultural. Everything, you know, a kid may be having a bad day, but the teacher may be having a bad day also. And because the teacher is having a bad day, the kid experiences the consequences of what happened to the teacher back at home. Zero tolerance. We have to do away with that. Thank you so much for your help. I want to acknowledge two of our Place Matters team, our Orleans Parish Place Matters team, Florentine Steger, who is our policy analyst, and Dr. Marsha Bouchard, who is with the Louisiana Public Health Institute here. And we have a Place Matters team from another county from Jefferson Parish Place Matters team. Thank you very much. Question is, what stimulated the move to go charter school? The decision was made while most of us were out of the city evacuating for Katrina. So the wool was pulled over our eyes. But what's behind it? Another social determinant called economics. There's big bucks in charter schools. Whereas the CEO of a charter school may make a couple of $100,000 a year, that's more than what a superintendent of school would make here. And so we have many CEOs of our charter schools. It's all about the Benjamins. Any other questions? Public schools, yeah. What we're talking about are strictly the public schools. We can get no data on what's happening in the parochial and the private schools. Our kids could be enrolled through the charter process. They can get vouchers to enroll in private schools or parochial schools, and we not know what the result of their education. They could be doing just as bad there, and we'll never know. So there are some policies that we need to address to get to the information. There's some legislation that needs to be passed to help us get to the real answer. We don't know, in fact, how much total is being invested in education here because they get money and grants from different places. So it's a shell game. It's a shell game. And our kids are being victimized. They're being sent to jail. They're being murdered on our streets while this game is being played. You're dismissed.